Hey, everybody, it's Chris Aiken here, just reminding you that all of my books are available on sale over at chrisaikenbooks.com. And for you dummies that can't spell my last name, that's A-K-I-N. So C-H-R-I-S-A-K-I-N-B-O-O-K-S.com. Get them. Whether you want the fun musical stuff or you want the depressing divorce and burn accident stuff, it's all there. So go to chrisaikenbooks.com. It is Aftershocks right here at AftershocksTV.com, and this is one of my favorite times that we ever have doing Aftershocks. It's one of those times when I can introduce what is allegedly new music. It's new music to a lot of you, although to me, I've been knowing about these guys for a few years now when they had a different name, but the name that they currently go by is South of Eden. And on with us from South of Eden to talk about the new EP, The Talk, is the lead vocalist, Ehab himself. So, Ehab, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. First of all, man, great release. Love The Talk. Love the diversity of The Talk more than anything. Even though it's four songs, it's four very different songs, which I think really showcases what you guys are as a band. Do you agree?
I definitely think it does showcase what we do very well, and I appreciate your kind words. That means a lot to us, man. But yeah, it's a shame it's only four songs, but we had to release something, right?
Sure. Well, what was the decision behind that? Before we get into the whole, maybe I can't go this way. Was this you guys' decision, or was this the decision of the new label, Lava, you know, to kind of guide you to put something out to carry you through to a full length?
Honestly, the original plan was an album. We recorded a full album. The only issue was, this crazy pandemic that came out of nowhere, and, you know, it obviously killed our industry. So the original thought process was, hey, let's not take a gamble and let's not release during these unprecedented times. It's hard enough to break a rock band, you know, in regular times. So, nowadays it's like, man, no touring, no nothing, you know, what could happen? Let's wait a second. But honestly, our fans really pushed us to release. We knew that we owed it to them. We owed it to everybody that's been waiting for so long, even though it's a new name and it's, you know, it's a four piece now, not a three piece, and that whole shebang. It's, you know, we still wanted to make sure that we did everybody the service that we owed them. So yeah, at the end of the day, it was like, you know what, let's just release something, you know, so that people do get to experience what South of Eden is now. And we're going to keep releasing a couple more things throughout the year, and early next year, come back very strong and give everybody what they've been waiting for.
Sure. And you know what, for this style of music, it is, I know the pandemic kind of fucks everything up, but for this style of music, it's a great time to be putting something out there with the, you know, with obviously Greta Van Fleet had big success year and a half ago. And certainly Dirty Honey has had very good success. Joyous Wolf. You know, there's a lot of bands that I think you guys could play on the same stages with and would fit very nicely. And it just seems like the more of the quality stuff that comes, the better chance this whole style has of really sinking in. Do you agree?
I completely agree. I think all the bands you just mentioned are freaking amazing. You know, I think that they've all opened this door that has been, you know, it's never been fully shut, but I think that it was, severely locked, and right, people were trying to just, you know, it's always cracked and there's always stuff coming through it, but they really opened that door, and it's definitely great to see that rock is relevant nowadays, and it's becoming more and more relevant every day. And you know, we want to come in like the Kool-Aid man. We want to come smashing through the wall. So, yeah, man, I don't know. I'm just glad that we're talking about rock and roll again.
Absolutely, man. It's definitely a better conversation than if we're sitting there talking about, well, you got to fuse hip hop in with guitar. You know, that's, I like just the good old fashioned rock and roll style. And that's really what this is. It's almost a comeback to the 70s, except it has a lot more energy and a lot more groove to it, I think, than what the 70s produced.
Totally, man. I mean, the thing is as great as those songs are from back in the day, sonically, you know, some of them are challenged, and you know, it's because Sabbath went in there and they did everything in one day. You know, that first album, they recorded everything, and that literally they just played the thing through and mixed and mastered, ready to go with 2 or 3 days, something crazy like that. So, you know, it's insane. It was just one of those things where it's like, man, this was such an iconic period of time. You know, so much revolutionary music was made during this time. We want not necessarily to bring that back, but we want to remind people of, you know, why rock has never died, but using the you know, the sounds from nowadays, you know, because we don't really want to date ourselves in any way. We never really felt like we were trying to, you know, we're not like an, you know, a I don't know what to call it. We're not really trying to pay homage in any kind of way. We're just doing our own thing, you know.
Sure. You're bringing it back without being a copy of it is real, you know, the, 'cause like I'll point to another style, the you know, like the kind of hair metal thing, the Motley Crue thing. And there are bands that are out there that are still doing that, Crazy Licks or I don't know, Crash Diet or whatever, but they almost seem like they're like mimicking what there was, where you guys almost are. There's enough difference in it to where it doesn't, nobody's gonna say, well, here's a Led Zeppelin clone or here's a Black Sabbath clone. You know, you guys have your own flavor, which is perfect in a time when so many people, especially people your age, really don't know a lot of this kind of music. It is fresh to them. It is new to them. The whole style is new to them.
Right, exactly, man. And that's the coolest part is to see a lot of young people at show, well, you know, when there were shows, to see a lot of young people at shows and to see a lot of, like, you know, just diversity in the demographic of our fans. It's really cool. It's an amazing sight.
Now, Ehab, the big change, or you know, the big change for you guys is obviously the name change, and I'll admit that I personally was very surprised. You know, I'm in Cleveland, so I'm a little more aware than probably a lot of people around the country would be of you, but you guys had built a really, really strong reputation on the previous name of the band. That had to be brutal to change the name, you know, after you've done so much work to establish it, no?
Yeah, so we were really, like, you know, grateful to have such an amazing following as Black Coffee, and we definitely liked the name, and it represented us because of how, you know, raw and just there's no crap in it. It's just, it is what it is. So we definitely enjoyed the name. The only issue with that name is that when it came time to, like, trademark it and do all the legal stuff to make it our own, you know, we found out that you can't own that name because of the fact that it's such a broad term. There's so many coffee shops, there's so many bands, there's so many artists with the exact same name that we couldn't brand it as our own. And that was a huge thing for us. And we were like, you know, we were definitely thrown back by that. Because, you know, it took one conversation of, I can't remember who it was that said, it might have been Jason Flom that said to me, like, do you guys want to be compared to anything else? And the quick answer was hell no, you know. So we immediately knew we wanted to change the name, and the name really just came about because there's a book called East of Eden that Nick had found. And I was, you know, we're not super privy to the book, of course, but we've kind of, we're just trying to, maybe, oh, maybe there's something cool in it, and that's why we'd want to be called East of Eden. And then just suddenly, I remember, I think it was me or someone else was like, dude, what about South of Eden? It sounds like the raunchier version. You know, what is South of Eden? And it just stuck with us. So we were like, we were very happy to have the name that was well received when we did change it. So many people were so supportive, but we do, of course, miss the old name, and that's why we left that music as it is. You know, it's a 3-piece band that recorded Take One, and it'll forever live that way.
Sure. Who has the closet full of Black Coffee merch?
Oh, we sold it all, man.
That's great.
We might have to do a reboot, you know, kind of a thing.
Nice, very cool, man. Well, dude, what came first? The record company or the expanding to a 4-piece?
Expanding to a 4-piece came first. In order, I guess it was, we added Nick. You know, I guess if you start even before that, as we were a 3-piece, we added Press, which was Tag Publicity. an amazing press company. From there, we added a lawyer, a great entertainment lawyer. His name is Nick Ferrara. He's a badass. From there, we were kind of jumping around managers, just trying to find the right person. And while we were trying to find the right manager, we ended up holding bass auditions because I didn't want to play bass anymore. And Nick came back into town at that time. We added Nick. And right after the new year, in 2019, we added, you know, we were still bouncing around managers, just trying to figure out who to add. And we ended up deciding we want to record a record. Let's find a producer. So we're talking on the phone with this list of producers, and this producer named Greg Wells kind of comes out of nowhere wanting to be our Mutt Lang and having all this passion and faith into us. It was amazing. And, you know, he really did a lot for us in terms of, let me show you around. Let me, you know, kind of explain this music business to you. And, you know, it took just a few days for Jason Flom to get on the phone with us and want to sign us basically on the spot. And we were very weary of the whole record contract thing. You know, we were pretty scared and we didn't want to, you know, fall into what everyone else has. So we, you know, it took months to get it where we wanted it. And they were so cool about everything. And it flowed very well.
And your audio went. There it is.
Am I back? Sorry. Yep. Yeah, it sounds like a long time, months to discuss a contract, but really it didn't feel like it was that long. It was really just like because they're such a busy. I mean, Lava is part of Republic and Universal, right? And they use the same teams. So it's literally the same people. It's just a different branch. So they're very busy. So it took a little bit of time, but we got exactly how we wanted it. They were unbelievably supportive and super cool about everything. We went in there and recorded this whole album the exact way we wanted it. We didn't compromise on anything because we refused to compromise on anything. So yeah, man, it was really cool.
And it's amazing that you're able to do that with so many big heavy hitters in the mix. I mean, Nick Ferrara, Jesus Christ, little band called AC/DC comes to mind with him, you know, and certainly Jason Flom has signed how many platinum selling bands, you know, I mean, it's, it really is a testament to how strong the material you're submitting is to them that they trusted you. Cause that's not, and I mean, I talked to a zillion bands. That's not normal for, especially a guy like Jason Flom, to not step in and say, okay, like this, but change this, you know, that's really pretty cool, man.
Yeah. I've always wondered if, you know, is Jason Flom an amazing person? Yes, absolutely. But is it like, am I seeing more of the nice end than most people do? Like, it's hard to believe that because it seems like he and Greg and everybody, all these people are so genuine and straightforward. And it just seems like if you're straight up about what you love and you know what you want and they want the same thing, then, you know, there's a green light that kind of turns on. And we were just very fortunate and very lucky to be able to, you know, get that green light from them.
Sure. Now Ehab, obviously the pandemic is killing everybody, you know, yourselves included, especially you guys, for two reasons. One, you're a band that's known as a live band first. For anybody that's in this area, they know you as a live band first that also put out a good record, not the other way around.
Right.
And, you know, and secondly, because you have this brand new EP out there, this has got to be killing you guys that you can't get out, get in a van, go across the country and show people what you got. No,
it is, man. And, you know, the hardest part, you know, we bought a school bus last year, and it was early last year. I think it was January, February. It's big old 72 passenger school bus. And we ripped out everything. We put in bunks. We put in like refrigerator, microwave, AC, a dining room, you know, like couches and all kinds of stuff. So it's a whole RV now. And it's just sitting there, you know, and we go and we just drive it around for fun. It's depressing. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, man, it's like we knew very quickly in the first couple of months, you know, probably late March, we knew that everything was going to be shut down for a long, long time. We had just signed to CAA. The booking agency, and they, you know, they were outside of, you know, all the other booking agencies and outside of just all these different places, they were taking, you know, some pretty heavy hits having to cancel stuff. And so we knew you know, okay, we're going to have to push back our release, which was originally scheduled for April or May. We got to push it back to June and then again push it back to July. And in July, like I told you, we were just like, hey, let's just release the one song and just see what happens. And that's what made us want to release the EP, you know?
Sure. And the one song, you know, Dance with Fire, I'm assuming is the song we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable numbers for a band that most people around the country don't know. And, you know, you guys are getting a ton of play on it. And I got to admit, it's a fun video. It's not the standard. I mean, you see the same videos that I do, man. A lot of them are very standard and very dull. And okay, here's the band and playing. It really showcases the fact that you guys are a fun bunch. And, you know, I think that's a good first impression for any band to have, you know, that's establishing themselves.
Yeah, man, that's why. And I appreciate you saying that. That means a lot to us. That's why we wanted to shoot it ourselves. We wanted to edit it ourselves. We wanted to do everything ourselves with that first video. You know, we're blessed to have John Payne, who's this amazing local photographer that basically is, you know, taking us under his wing and just basically helps us all the time with everything we need. He's, you know, he's a Swiss Army knife. Sometimes he's our tour manager. Sometimes he's our video guy. Sometimes he's making music videos, you know, promotion stuff. Every photo you see of us is him, you know, it's okay. All that kind of stuff. It's, he's been there since the beginning of Black Coffee. So he and I sat down and really just decided with the label, let's not go the big, you know, produced music video route. Let's just shoot this thing in our rehearsal room and let's use all the B-roll from the LA trip, from the festivals, from all the stuff we've done. And that's, you know, it came out exactly the way Dancing with Fire, the song came out, which was just genuine and, you know, us. You know, the biggest thing we wanted to do was just make sure people understood what we are. You know, we're not like we don't take ourselves too seriously, but at the same time, we're not like a, you know, just having fun just for shits band. You know, we're a pretty serious band, and I think we write music and lyrics for people to have something to bite onto in this time and in this era, whether this pandemic was happening or not. I think there's a lot of people out there that are looking for guidance and are looking for some good music, you know?
Absolutely, man. So what's next for the band now? Obviously, it's a holding pattern, but I mean, are you able to even make plans for, I don't know, summer of next year, or do you just kind of hang tight and see what develops?
Yeah. So, I mean, hanging tight and seeing what develops is, of course, I mean, day by day, things are changing. So we kind of have to deal with that, but we are very happy to say that like all the festivals we were going to be on this year, they've resubmitted their contracts to us. So we're, you know, every other week, we're just kind of looking at different contracts for festivals and stuff like that. So that's pretty great. Things are booking for 2021. We're looking at different tours and all that kind of stuff, but 2020 is pretty grim right now. Live streams and things like that this year are kind of what people can look forward to. We have acoustic versions of all the songs that sound, you know, they're more like reimagined versions because they sound very different. So I think people will be able to look forward to that. And there's an Audio Slave cover that's coming as well. There'll be, that'll be cool. There's also the Talk music video, which is it's a more serious look on us, which will be cool. You know, give people some different flavors.
No question, man. Well, I'll tell you what, Ehab, South of Eden, the new release is called The Talk. And why don't you tell people where they can go to keep up with you guys and social media and all that stuff?
Yeah, thanks, man. You can follow us on, you know, anywhere at South of Eden Band. We have southofedenband.com. If you want merch, it's districtlines.com/South of Eden. You can stream our new EP and single Dancing with Fire and The Talk. They're everywhere right now on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere you like to listen to music, really. And there are four tracks, so make sure you listen to all of them. Morning Brew is my personal favorite. That's kind of my baby. So I appreciate you giving me the time, man, and I appreciate you doing what you do and supporting rock music. So thank you so much.
Absolutely, man. Well, I'll tell you what, we're gonna tease people a little bit. We're gonna give them a little taste of Dancing with Fire to wrap this one up. So this has been Aftershocks, and you know, good luck with it, man. I hope it does well for you.
I appreciate it, man.
All right, bro.
Thanks for listening to Aftershocks. For more episodes, go to our website at www.aftershockspodcast.com. Visit us on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for more news and information on the podcast. And be sure to subscribe, listen to, and review all episodes on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all other podcast platforms. For your music listening pleasure, visit our website or go to www.shockwavesradio.com. For all comments and questions, please email us at info@aftershockspodcast.com.